No, no, they're just there. They should be picking you up. So this is our last section. You glad or you sad? Okay, the review session. In this room, your very own room, 7 to 9 p.m. Friday. I emailed you guys already, okay? And today's lecture is going to be the hardest one. I can say, because it was hard for me this morning, for my morning section, so bear with me. And if you have any questions, just raise your hand. It's okay, right? Because I have to sign a consent form too, okay? I'm going to talk about solo growth model, and if I have time, I'm going to go over question 3 and 8 for the prompt set. And then I'll talk about the discussion sections, discussion topics, okay? For solo growth model, I listed down the components for you guys, so you can just pick it up whenever you want to use it, right? Because we're gonna do a lot of manipulation in this model. We're not gonna have as many graphs as I liked before. So we're gonna have to use all these equations to explain the movement of the model right now. The first one, it's the labor supply, okay? We assume that everyone in the country, the whole population, are in the labor force, is in the labor force, okay? LT. And the growth rate of this L is N, which is the population growth, right? So now I have to kind of refresh your memory a little bit about the growth rate. Because what is the growth rate? Suppose you want to find a growth rate for L, dL over dt. Growth rate is how the number of labor change over time, right? Ricardo will call this L dot t, okay? And I will call it change in L over LT. They're the same thing, okay? In the review notes that you're gonna get, you're gonna see something very complicated. That's why I was carefully writing this notes last night for you guys. If you don't understand those, fine. Understand my notes and you're gonna be able to do this final. Okay? Because he assumed L equals to something and then he derived L dot. But I already derived it for you. You have to go through the derivation. So this is N. The growth rate of the labor force is N. Second, the effectiveness or the labor augmenting technology. And we call that E. Okay? And the growth rate of E, which is the change in E over ET, is G. These are given, right? Population growth, technological growth, they are given. And constant too. Okay? The third one is production function. We talked about production function last time. They have constant return to scale. The first derivative of production function, which is the slope, is going to be positive with both respect to labor and capital, right? Increase capital, increase output. Increase labor, increase output. This is y equals to f k over l. Okay? What is the fourth one? The saving function. just regular saving, these are all in the big letters, okay? Saving function is the small s, which is the saving rate, times yt, how much you save out of the income. Okay?
And why don't you put the effectiveness on the suit, on the production function, you don't have it.
Yeah, sorry. That's good. I forgot to put E in because we just add this E into the model. Right? We usually have L, but I just wanted the full model. So good question. Thanks. Or number five. We have saving equals to investment in closed economy, remember? In closed economy with no government, savings gonna equal to investment. So investment is going to also equal to little s times big yt. Okay? The last component of solo growth model is capital accumulation. Remember the bathtub last time? The change in the total number of capital in the economy equal to investment, which is the inflow of the water, minus delta K, which is the outflow of the water. What's left in the tank? Is the change in capital, or is the level of capital, okay? Now, if you want to study the growth model, we have to define some parameters because it's going to be very easy for us if we specify some parameters. Well, let's define little k. So now distinguish my both k's, big K and little k. Let's define it as big K over the effective unit of labor. This is not only labor, this is the effective unit of labor. If you have 10 labor, doesn't mean that everyone works the same way, right? Someone can be more effective than the others. So you care for the effective unit of labor when you produce the goods. So we have to divide by ET, LT, okay? And also, we need to define output per effective unit of labor. Okay. Now to study growth, we want to look at the behavior of the capital accumulation. So we want to see how this little k changes over time. Okay? So we're going to do k dot t for Ricardo, or for me, change in little kt over kt. Okay? When we want to derive this, the derivative of kt, you have to do the quotient rule again. Remember? Bottom multiplied by top minus top multiplied by the bottom. So let's do that again. Just going to do the first derivation. Et, lt, change in big K, minus top, change the bottom, or the bottom squared, okay? And you plug the change in capital using the last equation here. Put it here and do some manipulation. You're gonna get the change in kt. I need it in my notes, so go through it, okay? I'm just gonna skip that part. It's gonna be equal to f kt minus delta plus n plus d, little kt. You have to understand the derivation of this, but you don't have to get it down like 100%, like you have to rewrite it. But you have to memorize this one. This is important.
Okay? What exactly does that mean again?
This is the growth rate of the capital per effective unit of labor. You want to see how the change in effective unit of labor contributes to growth. Okay? So that's why you need this equation. This is the whole solver model, this equation. Tells you the whole thing. Okay? So, last time we put this in graph already, right? We have this graph. Production function scaled down by saving rate, which is going to be the same, just like lower. the same rate, it's going to be less than 1. And you know, this is the shape of production function. Okay? So we have this. Straight line, slope of delta plus n plus d, kt. This is kt. In Mankiw book, in the book, they did it in 3 steps. They do it in 3 steps. They do it first with fixed labor, okay? So you don't have any n. N equals to 0. G equals to 0 for the first step, remember? The professor went over this too. So this equation, you're not going to have n plus g, right? The picture's going to be the same. The second version, they're not including e yet. They left e out. You have only n and the, plus the first version. So this is what you have. And the model we're doing right now is the final step. We have everything. So if you want to do the first 2 steps, just take this out. And you have the same picture still. See that? Because this is just a slope, right? It doesn't affect anything else. So from this, you get k star. Why? Because in the steady state, okay, in the steady state, k stops growing, little k. And little y too, because y equals to a function of, is a function of k. If k stops growing, the little y is going to stop growing too. See that? So, in steady state, this term is 0, right? See that? So this term equals to this term. As the investment has to equal to depreciation. That's when you don't get any change in capital. You have just stable capital. That's represented by this point, this k star. Okay? We have that. And if you're away from k star, you're going back to it, remember? If you are on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side, your left-hand side, this is left-hand side of k star. You're going to have an investment which is F, SFK greater than the depreciation. So you're going to have a positive change in K. So your K is going up. If you're on the right-hand side, you're going to have depreciation over investment. Right? This change is going to be negative. And you're going to have a fall in K. This is the definition of steady state. If you're away from it, you're coming back to it. If you're at K star, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to stay there because there's not going to be any change in capital. Okay? Now, this is easy. Come to the harder part, which is the convergence rate. Okay? The convergence rate in this case is the convergence rate from any point in this line to K star. We need to use the law of diminishing marginal product of capital again. If you have small amount of capital, adding one more unit of capital gives you a lot of output. But if you keep adding more and more capital, that extra output is going to decrease, right? Even though you still have an increase in output, that increase is smaller and smaller as you keep adding capital. This is the same thing. If you are here, okay? If you are at this point, you have very low level of capital. If you add one extra unit of capital, you're going to have high unit of output, high extra output. That means you have a high growth, high convergence rate to K star. But if you keep getting closer and closer to K star, your increase in output is falling, right? So your convergence rate is falling and falling when you're getting toward K star. And when you get to K star, what is your growth rate? 0. Right? At this point, K stopped growing. Little y stopped growing. Same thing. On this side, if you're further away, if you decrease your capital by 1 unit, you decrease output by a lot. So the convergence rate on this side is high too, even though you have a decrease, your convergence rate is negative. But in absolute value, it has to be big. And it's getting smaller and smaller in absolute term until it gets to K star. The further you go from K star, the bigger convergence rate. Okay? I don't know if it's hard. It's hard for me to kind of. I talk about Mankiw thing. Let's do the growth rate. Let's see whether, if we in steady state, what's going to happen? We know that little k and little y stop growing. What happened to all these big y, big k's and savings and wage, rental rate? Okay? I did a lot of examples here. I don't know if it's going to be useful, but I hope so, because Ricardo is writing a final on this part, and he's very mad. So we must be ready for that. Okay. First that I want to point out is that remember that the change in k, the little k and little y stop growing in steady state. So from now on, from now, the next 10 minutes, everything is going to be in steady state. Okay? What happened to big Y? When we want to look at the big Y, we have to track back to little y because we have to use that information. We know that the growth rate of the little y is zero at the steady state, right? So little y, I'm going to leave the subscript t off, okay? It's going to be equal to y over le, right? This is how we define it. So if you want to see what happened to big Y, we just multiply both sides by le. And now we apply the growth rate formula. So the change in y over y equals to the change in little y over little y. What is this? Plus, right? Because when you have the multiplication, the growth rate has to be addition. So change in L over L plus change in E over E. What is the change in y over y? What is the growth rate of little y in steady state? Zero. Come on, you can talk. You already said something. What is the change in L over L?
N.
N. What is change in E over E?
G.
G, right? So the growth rate of the big Y is N plus G. Okay?
On your notes, it looks like you have minus.
Oh. Oh, no, because I changed, I used the change, the growth rate of little y equals to the growth rate of big Y minus growth rate of L minus growth rate of B. So I kind of like changed around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now I must change it first and then take logs, but that's the same thing. Okay. And also, I want to point out something too. At the steady state, one condition at the steady state that you need to know is from this one. If you, at the steady state, this thing, SFK, equals to the depreciation. So at the steady state, FFK star is going to equal to delta plus N plus GK star, right? If you know the functional form, if you know the production function, like you impose Cobb-Douglas production function, right? You can, suppose you have like k, little k to the 1/2. You can solve for k star, right? You can solve for k star. And the k star will be a function of delta plus n plus g and s. And what are they? They are constant. They are constant. See that? Constant, 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 and constant. Right? So that's why k star is constant in the steady state, because it's a function of constant. This parameter is not going to change over time. Okay? That's why k star is constant and the growth rate of k star is zero. The second thing, the effective unit of labor, LTET, without peaking, what is the growth rate? Come on, what is the growth of L? Yes, N plus T, because it's equal to the growth rate is equal to the greater of L plus the growth rate of E. So it's N plus G. Okay, you're getting better. Now, this is the hard one. This big KT. So we're doing the same thing in here. We define little KT. I just leave it out. Big K over LE. Okay? So big K is going to equal to little K L E, right? What is the growth of big K? What is the growth rate of little K? In steady state, zero. What is the growth rate of L? N. What is the growth rate of E? G. So it's N plus G. Know the trick now? Okay, good. Number four, saving. Saving is S times big Y. The growth rate of savings, it's gonna be equal to the growth rate of little s plus the growth rate of little y, the big Y, sorry. So, what is the growth rate of little s?
Zero.
Zero. What is the growth rate of big Y? N plus D, right? So saving grows at rate N plus D. Okay? So the L dot equals to L multiplied by exponential N T is Ricardo's way. The growth rate thing is my way, and this is Professor Lasu's way. So pick everyone you want, anyone you want. But don't do Ricardo, I think it's too much. I mean, he's too good. We kind of like this level. I'm kind of like this level. Okay? Well, this is easy too, but this is like the sure thing. You're not gonna miss anything from here. Okay? I'm in between. Okay, investment, since investment equals to savings, the growth rate of investment has to equal to growth rate of savings too. Right? So growth rate of investment is just N plus G again. Okay? But don't try to guess in multiple choice. Like, most of them are N plus D, but, you know, try to figure it out. Well, the next couple of this derivation is dealing with number 8. So let's do number 8 in the problem set. Okay? So I think it's more useful to you and to me. Steady state again, right? For number one, you have to prove k over y to be constant. What should be the starting point? Let's divide both numerator and denominator by LE. Okay? So what is it? It's going to be little k over little y, right? Because k over L is our little k, y over LE is our little y. Since we are in a steady state, just give them some stars. Okay? Now, let's let it sit for a while and look at our steady state condition. The condition is S, F, k star. Remember, in steady state, the two things have to be equal. What is this f of k star? Just y star, right? Now, you can find k star over y star from this relationship. K star over y star equal to s over delta plus n plus g. Saving rate, depreciation rate, population growth, technological growth, they're all constant. That's why K star over Y star is constant. Proof. Okay? The second one, remember capital share from the very first?
Are you going to ask something like this, like a proof in the short answer part?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I hope not. I'll fight for it. Well, a little, you know, the easy ones are, these ones are okay, right? This is probably a little bit tricky. What is capital share? Remember, the capital, this is what? The capital income plus the labor income equal to the total output in the economy. Remember this equation? Right? That's why we have zero economic profit. Because we have to divide output to pay for capital and labor, and we have no profit left. So the capital share, if you divide everything by y, and the labor share equals to 1. And this is our capital share that we want to look at. So RK over y, what is the growth rate of RK over y? I'm going to simplify it for you a little bit. In the book, it's given that R equals to MPK, and then K over Y. This K can be, we can do the same thing over there. Divide both numerator and denominator by LE. Okay? What is the marginal product of capital? How do you get marginal product of capital? You take production function and you do something with it. Take derivative, yes, right? So this is F prime little k, and then this is little k, this is little y. And since we're in the steady state, everything is star. F of k is the function of k star. Depend on k star only. If k star constant, F prime of k is going to be constant. And we already proved that k star over y star is constant, right? So these whole thing are constant. Okay? So it's proved. You want to see this? Suppose f of k star equal to k star to the 1/2. F prime of k star is equal to 1/2 k star minus 1/2, right? And k star is constant. 1/2 is constant, minus 1/2 is constant. So f prime of k star is constant. That's it.
What's the difference between little r and big r? Like how?
Little r?
And big r. Like
big r is the rental rate, the total payment to capital. If you subtract the depreciation rate, you're going to get the interest rate. This is big r, this is small r. It's the definition thing. This is the total payment. But once you subtract off depreciation, this is the capital gain. Okay? That's why we call interest rate, like capital gain. And I just thought of something. The big K over Y. The big K over Y. What is the growth rate of K? We just had. N plus D, what is the growth of Y? N plus D, since they both have the same growth rate and they divide each other, they should be constant, right? That's like the wording, the wordy proof. This is like the mathematical proof. Molly?
When you divide K over L by LE, you just do that. Like, you don't need to do anything else in the equation.
No, you don't have to. Why? Because it's the same thing as you multiply by 1. This is 1, right? LE and LE is 1.
Okay.
That's question B. Well, since this is labor share is equal to 1 minus capital share. So it's going to be 1 minus this. 1 is constant, this is constant. So the labor share is also going to be constant, right? Now, for the total payment of labor, I think you can do it better now. Let's see. Total payment of capital, sorry. What is the growth rate of R? The growth rate of R is the R is MPK. MPK is F prime K. So the growth rate of R is 0, right? And the growth rate of K is N plus D. So there, you have the growth rate of R K equals to N plus D. Okay. Or, I want to do it my way, RK is going to be equal to constant. I mean, we already proved that RK over Y is constant on B, in problem B, right? So RK equal to constant times big Y. The growth rate in RK, do it my way, is going to equal to the growth rate of the constant, which is 0. Plus the growth rate of y, which is n plus d. Same thing. Taking like extra 3 minutes. Okay? What about the payment to labor. In this case, it has to be WLE because we're paying by effective labor unit. I should put an E here too. Well, but it's not going to change any result anyways. Okay? So, we're doing the same thing. WLE over Y is going to be constant, right? So, WLE equals to constant times Y. The growth rate of WLE is going to be equal to the constant, the growth rate of the constant plus the growth rate of Y, which is N plus D again. We're looking for the growth rate of the whole thing. See that? Okay. You have a question, Karin?
No. No.
No? Okay. So any question on number 8? And now, so I've done 6, 7, 8, 9. Like a little bit differently. You can check the notes in my notes. 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, erase this. For 10, why we care about C over L? Consumption over L is the per capita consumption. You don't care how effective you are, but you care about how much each of us can consume, like per person, right? You don't care how effective you are, but it's just how much you can consume. So let's see what is the growth rate of C over L. This is kind of complicated, but not that hard. So you want to find the growth rate of this, right? So consumption is equal to Y minus I, right? If you divide the whole thing by LE, you're going to have CT equals little y T minus little I T. Little I T is just saving equals to investment, right? So little S and Y, which is savings, you're going to have 1 minus S little y T. It's your little consumption, little C. See that? Now, little ct, we got this little ct by dividing big ct by le equals to little ct. Now, since we care only about c over l, we can have c over l equals to little c times e. See that? Now, from that equation, little c, we already figured it out. C over L equals to E times little c. Little c is 1 minus S, little y t. Okay? Now, in steady state, the growth rate of C over L equals to the growth rate of E plus the growth rate of 1 minus S plus the growth rate of y, little y. What is the growth rate of E? In steady state? G. What is the growth rate of 1 minus S? Zero. What is the growth rate of little y? Zero. In steady state. So the growth rate of C over L is just G. Okay? Okay. Now let's get to something more economic. Well, not much, but a little. The golden rule steady state. As you can see, K star can be written as a function of all these parameters. Like, what else? Delta and D and S, right? So what if, I mean, it's okay if you have different parameters. But if you have different parameters in each state of your development, you're going to get different K star, right? And sometimes you can manipulate these parameters too. Like the government can push up your saving rate or push down your saving rate, or you know, some country try to limit their population growth, like China, right? So if you can have different K star, which one is your best K star? We don't talk about how to convert to steady state anymore. We're talking only, okay, let's see if we are at the steady state, which steady state is the best for us, okay? So what? How do we care? What should be the criteria to decide the capital, the K star, that is the best for us? Yeah, because we care about consumption. So whichever steady state that gives you the maximum consumption, you go for it, okay? So, I think I derived the condition of the steady state. Professor Basu did once in lecture, I did here again. It's just the maximization thing. You have Ct equals to yt minus little it, okay? And this little I is SYT. What is SYT? I erase it again. Oh, SYT at the steady state. Now, we're talking about steady state now. SY is equal to this term. So we can substitute Y star. I'm going to change it to star now. Minus N plus D plus delta K star. And this little Y star, we can substitute in F of K star, right? Because they're equal. Why? We want to find a K star that maximizes consumption. So we have to change the parameters in this equation to be K star so we can maximize over it. So now, maximize consumption function. You take derivative of this function, set it equal to 0, right? So, take derivative F prime K star equal to minus n plus d plus delta equal to 0. You have F prime K star equal to n plus d plus delta. This is the condition for golden rule steady states. It is the K star where your F prime K star at that point equal to the slope of the straight line. So let's see which point is it. It is over there. Okay. Suppose now you care only about K star. This is all you care about, K star. You in steady state. This is your production function, F K star. And we can draw the line, N plus G plus delta K star. Okay? Now, the condition is the slope of this production function has to equal to the slope of this line. That means the golden rule steady state has to be where the slope, when you draw the line, touches the slope of production function, it has to be parallel to the straight line. Something like over here, right? Because the slope here equal to the slope here, satisfy the condition. So, this is your K star golden rule. At this K star, you maximize the consumption in the economy. Okay? If you are aware from this, you're gonna have less consumption either way. If you come toward this point, toward the right hand side, this is the consumption. Right? Why? Because consumption, where is it? Equal to F K star minus the depreciation. This is Y, this is F of K star, this is depreciation. So the difference between the two is your consumption. This is the maximized consumption, maximum consumption. If you go further to the right, it's falling. If you go further to the left, it's falling. Okay? Any question on the golden rule steady states? Okay. Now, is it number 3 too? Yeah. So I'm going to do number 3 and try to use this picture to explain number 3. This is the only 2 I'm going to do today, sorry. 3 and 8. Okay? Or we can do something better if we have time. Like 7. 7 is good. 7 gets me. I can't do 7 at the first time. I'm like, oh. Okay, number 3, if you have a higher saving proportion to income, which is a higher saving rate, basically. What's going to happen? Okay? The high saving rate. Now, we're back to regular case. We're not going to be in all steady states. We're going to be in regular case. And our goal is to go for a steady state now. Okay? This is now back to the scaled down production function by savings. And this is just N plus B plus delta. Okay. Now I've got my board line as my steady state. Now, if you have a lower, no, here you have a larger savings rate. That picture. Is that high? Okay, let's do this. Okay. This is your original level. You're at the steady state. And then saving rate goes up. What would happen? This is just a constant, right? If saving rate goes up, it pushes up this curve, the production function, the saving function. So this curve is going to be like that. It's got pushed up. S prime F K star. Okay, now, I'm getting back to my broad line K star. You have a higher K star when you change, when you increase saving rates. You ending up having a higher capital, a growth in capital, and a higher level of Y, since Y is a function of little k, little y, it's a function of little k. Okay? I'm talking about all little now. So, what happened to consumption? Can you see in this picture? No, you can't. Right? So, let's look at this. It matters where you start when you change saving rate. If you are here, okay, if you're original at K star, this is K star in this picture, and if you have a higher K star, suppose you move up to here, what would happen? You have a fall in consumption, right? Why? Why is it? It's weird, right? You have a higher K. That means you have capital accumulation. Why you have a lower consumption can be. Because this K star golden rule is your optimum K star. If you beyond that point, this point, you're going to have too much K star. If you have too much capital in the economy, you know, when you have, you're going to have very low marginal product of output, marginal product of capital. And also, you have too much K, and you know that too much K means too much depreciation. It's going to eat up your investment. If you have to invest more, you have to save more. And when you have to save more, you have to consume less. Right? That's why it's bad. But if you over this side, you're fine, right? If you are, if you have too little K star, if you have too little capital in the economy, and you have a saving rate goes up, I mean, this is going to make your consumption goes up. What I'm doing is not exactly 3. I'm trying to use 3 to relate to this. If you don't have the same answer, don't be panicked. Well, for number 3, it's just like, if you are here, right, and saving rates goes down, goes up, the immediate effect is just you have to consume less because you save more, right? But you know that K is increasing. You have capital accumulation, capital growth. Then you're going to have productivity growth because you can produce more. And that's the gain, the immediate gain. And at the end, I mean, the transition, at the transition, you accumulate more and more capital. And once you get here, your capital growth rate is going back to 0 again, the little k, right? So you go from 0 here, positive, positive, and then 0 here again. So you enjoy what's in between transition rate. And what's the other good thing is you end up at a higher level k, higher level y. And your consumption is going to increase later because y increases. You were going to add that?
Mm-hmm. Yes? So how do you, like, if you want, oh, you can't.
just trying to bring them together.
No. Don't try. Okay. See that? So, if you are a policymaker, what would you do? If you know which side you're on, on this picture, if you're on your right hand side, if you're the policymaker, would you encourage the saving rate to go up or down?
Yeah.
Down, because you're going to increase consumption forever, right? And that's a picture that we did yesterday in class too. Your consumption is going to jump up and stay there forever. And if you're on the left hand side, you want saving rate to go up or down? Up, because you want to save more. You have so little, too little capital. You need to increase more capital, so you need to save more, right? So that will increase your consumption again. So it depends on where you are, okay? On the exam, I make sure that it's specifying which side you are on KSR if we deal with saving rates. Or you can ask me. I'm going to proctor you guys. So I hope that better. And I have to do this thing. This discussion, Brian?
In the article, you talked about the migration of people.
Yeah, definitely.
One question I have is, you have people moving out, and your end growth is going to drop.
No. Let's look at it as one time moving out. See what I'm saying? Like, you have just... The population growth is just like, when they calculate over years, right? But for this... for this part, it's just like, well, what if they migrate for a month? Like, for this month, 10,000 people came in. So it's not gonna, we're not gonna have them affect a lot of population growth. Let's make it that simple, okay? So let's make it that L change, but N is not changing. Because N is just the growth rate, right? So in the average growth rate of every year, suppose this year you have 3%, next year you have 2%. You can have 4% this year and 1% next year, and you have the same average amount of N. We assume N to be constant right now. I mean, we can change N, but if you change N, it's going to tilt. I think it's number 7 that you have to do. But for immigration, I don't think it's going to affect that much. Like in case of West and East Germany, right? They're not really, I don't know if they really migrate. They can just still go back and forth. Like, they probably cross the border and come and work and then go back. But try to keep it simple that N is not changing, because otherwise your analysis is going to go crazy. Like, because you have, you know, Y goes down and you have N shift your straight line again. See what I'm saying? If you have a migration, an immigration, if you let N change, you have to let this change too. You can't just do a simple analysis anymore. It's not that complicated, but you know, it's a little bit not easy. Okay? But you can put it in your analysis too if you already put it there. It's fine. It's fine. Just make assumptions. If it's gonna change or not, but I'm not gonna let it change in this case. Unless you are told, you know, that N is changing from 0 to 10%, something like that. If not, just immigration, just let N to be quite constant. Because we're not going to go this far, we're just going to look at the production function to see what happened to Y and per capita Y. Okay? Well, let's see if I can apply that too. Okay, let's start with number 2. I'm going to start with number 2 first. And then we'll come back to the immigration problem when we get to number 3. You have the I didn't put down. I don't want to queue more 3s. But do you have the, everyone has the problems? Well, you must have it in front of you, right? Okay. I'm gonna go for the second one first. Under what circumstances would you expect countries to convert? In this case, there are two convergences now. The first convergence is the country converge to K-star. The second convergence is the two countries converge to the same point. So now we're talking about what is the condition that the two countries converge to the same point? What makes them converge to the same point? Any thoughts, Elson?
They have similar saving rates, population growth, depreciation rate, and GDP.
Yes, exactly. Because you know that K star is a function of those parameters, G, N, delta, and S, right? If the two countries have the same level of those rates, or when you do some manipulation and those rates give you exact same K star as the other countries, then definitely in the long run, you know, in the long run you have to get to K star. And if you have the same K star, you're gonna converge, right? So first you must have the same K star to be able to converge to the same point first. Okay? So that's the condition. Any other comments? Questions?
This was another idea that struck me as like natural resource endowments. Like how would that affect that? Like if say one part of the country had like a lot more goods over there. Like oil, for example.
Like or a natural resource?
Would that affect
this probably affect the convergence rate, like how you accumulate capital, but not the K star.
Okay.
Because K star, we already proved that it's only for saving,
okay.
And it can reflect on the saving already, because if you have oil, you can be like, you know, you're going to have a lot of money, and you're probably not going to spend all of it, so you're going to save a lot, right? So it's already shown in S, and definitely, you know, oil is counting as capital, like in some sense. So that's going to affect your convergence rate too,
okay.
Definitely. Good. Okay, any other comments? Okay, let's go back to number one. In case of Germany, East and West Germany, will it eventually converge to the same per capita income, do you think? Well, let's, you know, look at the condition and see whether it's converging. Who think it's a yes?
No.
Who think it's a no?
No
one thinks it's a no. Elton, you think it's a no, it's a yes. You said no.
I said yes.
Okay. Okay, it's a yes. Because why? I mean, it can be yes or no. It depends on your reason. It's a yes because right now they're like practically one country. They're under the same government, right? Same policies, same monetary policy, fiscal policies, right? So they're probably going to converge. The saving rate is going to change a little bit, depreciation rate might change a little bit, and in the long run, they're gonna converge for sure. But I don't know how long, because you know, when you read the article, it's very long to see a convergence, right?
What's the effect on total output? Like, I know, like, the
the total output?
Yeah, like the poor country's total output. Like, I know, like, that it's per capita, it's kind of, like, catch up, like, will increase.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, does that necessarily mean that its total output will increase?
Let's see. What is the little y? Okay, the per capita income. Per capita, not per effective capita. I lost myself. Y over L is your per capita income. But if you have E here, you're going to have little y here. Or you can look at this, even. If this is going up, and given that labor is not falling, what happened to output? Output has to go up, yeah.
But I thought the reason why you put that was because labor actually fell.
Why actually?
Because people moved out.
Oh, No. We look at the immigration on the West Germany side. See what I'm saying? So what happened in West Germany, but this is in East Germany. You don't know whether... Well, the labor force is... Let's assume it's not changing. Okay, in this case. I don't want you to kind of going back and forth. It depends, or you can include this and say that total output falls, but I don't want to see that, because even though labor falls, it still can be the total output is increased, but maybe not, you know, it's still going to be able to increase, right? To make this thing increase. It doesn't have to be only out fall. So we don't know. And it's most likely to go up. Why? Because we have more capital coming in. East Germany, right? If you have more capital, since Y equals to F, K, L, maybe E, if K goes up, Y goes up too. So we're not looking at only labor, right? We're looking at both labor and capital. Okay, is that clear? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I stress more when we go to 3 and 4. Okay. Olivia?
Doesn't matter to the Angelina or the capital that they had before they, when they were separated countries. Because you said now they are, they have the same government, the same policies, but it's now, what about before? Before we know that West Germany had less capital than
yes. East Germany has less poverty.
Yes. East East Germany.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter where you start. Right? It doesn't matter where you start. You're gonna go, you're gonna convert to each other. Maybe why? You know why? Because when you look at this, okay, look at this. Look at this picture. The West Germany can start here, right? East Germany can start here. This is West, this is East, this is K. This is your K star. What is the convergence rate here? Is it higher or lower than West Germany? Higher, right? Once you get nearer to K star, your convergence rate falls, right? So here has to be slower. The convergence rate for West Germany has to be slower than East Germany anyways. So it's gonna catch up in the long run. See what I'm saying? And even though it's not gonna catch up by the time West Germany get there, but if West Germany are at K star, they stop growing. They're just going to be there. And finally, East Germany is going to be able to catch up anyway. Right? Because West Germany is going to stop here at K star. And East Germany is going to come and catch up later anyways. Okay? So finally, they have to converge. 700 years, you can say. Something like that. Well, this, no, I'm just like throwing the numbers out because you know that the convergence is very low. Okay, number three. The article notes that the regional income difference usually caused migration from poor to rich regions. Okay, now it comes to Brian's question. So let's look at just production function first. Okay, what happened to total output? What's gonna happen? Total output in West Germany. It will go, come on, you have more labor in West Germany, what would happen to the total output? Goes up, yes. Y equals to FKL. If L goes up, definitely Y is going to go up. Because of what? Because we have the first derivative. It's greater than zero. So increase in L, increase Y. Increase in K, increase Y. But if we divide it by L, we can do that because we have constant return to scale function, right? So it's going to be Y equals to F of K, right? Now, what is this small k? We have migration. Labor force is going up in West Germany. K is constant, pretty much. Little k, fall. So little y, fall. Think about it. What is little y? Little y is per capita, per effective unit of labor. If you have more labor and not producing as, you know, much more, you're going to have a fall in output per effective unit of labor, for sure. Even though you have an increase in Y, like Y over LE equals to little y, even though you have this increase, this can increase more and make this fall. Right? So that's the case. Is that better? Okay, let's see if we can say something. This is for you, Brian. If A, an increase in West Germany, you have a smaller K star, and you have a smaller y, little y. So same thing. Okay. And since, well, but this is the steady state, so this is like, you know, in a month. This is the steady state though. But you still have the same answer. See that? So K falls, little y falls, right? What happened to big Y? if n increase? What is the growth rate of big Y? N plus D, good. So if n goes up, the growth rate is going up. So big Y is going up. So same result. So if you can just, well, you know, if this immigration is large enough to change the population growth, you still have the same result. Okay, that's for labor. Let's do for capital. Well, wait. Now, what does it mean? It means that in West Germany, you have a fall in output, so you have a slower growth, right? If West Germany is going to K-star and East Germany is catching up, if West Germany is slowing down, the two countries gonna converge faster, right? So the immigration actually speed up the convergence of the two countries too. See that? Because it slowed down the growth rate of West Germany a little bit. Okay? That's one thing. That's for labor. Let's look at the capital. What happened? If West Germany lend the money or capital to East Germany to finance that investment, so they can invest more and have more capital accumulation. When they have more capital accumulation, okay?
I don't know why I erased that picture.
Here. If you have higher capital, East Germany is gonna catch up faster, right? It's gonna catch up West Germany faster because they now have extra money to accumulate that capital. See that? So both the immigration of labor from East Germany to West Germany and the lending, the ability to borrow of East Germany to West Germany, will speed up the convergence rate between the two, so East Germany can catch up faster.
Any? What about when they have to pay him back?
I mean, well, there's early. But if you are at the K-star, if you have the same growth rate, it's expected that you're gonna have money to pay back anyways. But right now, you need it. You need it for capital accumulation. But when you have enough capital, you know, you can just do anything, right? But right now, you need capital. That's why the developing country, the underdeveloped country, they borrow a lot because they expect that their capital accumulation will help them to pay back the debt later. That's what my country is doing, and now since we devalue, we can't pay back the debt anymore, even though we have more capital. Right? So that's the same thing. Okay? So as you can tell which way the direction is for labor. The labor flow from the poor region to the rich region. But the capital flow from the rich region to the poor region. And both things speed up the convergence rate of the two countries. Okay? Any other comments? Suggestions? So I suggest you to print out the solution for this chapter because it's very important that you understand everything. If mark the line that you don't understand, come talk to me because you better understand every single line in there. Curtis?
Do you have office hours
today? I don't have my office hours today. I'm gonna have my office hour. I moved my office hour from on Wednesday to Thursday because I have presentation.
Oh,
next week, Thursday.
Oh, I thought you wanted this.
Yeah. And yeah, I say what I want to say in the back page of your notes. Did you look? Good luck on your finals.
Is this just this section?
No. Oh yeah.
It's my section.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's your section. Yeah.